Off the ball rugby.
I picked Sam Prendergast.
Would you?
Yeah. That's not to take anything away from Mac Hansen and James Lowe. They're wonderful players. They're incredible footballers. You know, so there's still a very good team there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
Okay. Boys, you come back towards me here now. Right. Okay, starting in 3, 2, and 1. Well, it was a real Premier League thriller here, Brian. A 7-goal thriller. Unfortunately for Tottenham Hotspur fans, they go home after seeing their team beaten 4-3. Having been 2-0 up, did you get a sense around the stadium that there was huge disappointment with the manager, with the way the team played? What was your kind of feeling?
It was hard to know what direction was, because he got a late goal and there's a little bit of hope. There's a minute to go, back to 4-3. They just missed a couple of chances before that. So I think by then, the majority of the Spurs fans had left the stadium anyway. So we didn't get a really massive feel for what the vibe was. But there's massive disappointment. You're losing to one of your London rivals, having had a 2-goal start. You end up getting beaten 4-3. Two penalties in the second half by the two central midfield players gave away those two penalties. Needlessly, I'd say, in both situations, the Chelsea player was nowhere near the goal. He wasn't going to score from that angle. He may have set up a chance, but just needed to be kind of guided away from the goal, forced into playing a pass that could be dealt with. Said that both Yves Bissouna and Papasar gave away penalty kicks that gave Chelsea a 3-2 lead and a 4-2 lead, and essentially basically put the game out of sight for Tottenham. But I think Chelsea deserved it overall. They were the better team, they were more threatening in attack, and they had a clearer pattern of play, and they had the better composure and control, I thought, in midfield, despite the youth of the team. It was a very, very good win for Chelsea. From a sports point of view, it's a bit of a disaster, because you take the week, the two games that you said you start the games, you should be winning if you're near the top of the table. No, Bournemouth are playing very well, Fulham are playing well. Draw with Fulham 1-1. Beating the Bournemouth 1-0, and they lose at home today 4-3. So it's been a bit of a disaster of the week for Spurs, along with all the injuries. We talked about that during the game. Bringing back the two centre halves, they mustn't have been right. But Romero goes off early.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, Brian, because, you know, all indications were that Christian Romero would be back for this game, Postecoglou. He didn't say for certain in his press conference, but he indicated that he could come back for today's game. There was no talk of Mickey van de Ven whatsoever, so it was a surprise for everybody, I think, to see both players on the team sheet starting today. Now, look, I know Postecoglou might be, I'm not saying desperate, but really eager to get them back onto a winning track. But to risk both players in this game today, is that going to be proved to be a mistake?
Yeah,
but look,
a manager doesn't make that decision in isolation. These clubs have massive staff, and they've strength and conditioning guys, they've physios, they've masseurs, they've all sorts of people, they've doctors, medical men, medicine men, all sorts. And, you know, it's made in combination. Football managers aren't doctors. They're not medical men. They have to take the advice of medical men. Then sometimes they go with their own intuition, what the player says, with their own intuition. The player says, look, I feel all right. And they go through the testing process. I'm sure they didn't just throw Mickey van de Ven in on a hunch. You know, I'm sure they had evidence from the testing they were doing at the training that he was back and fit. I don't know with Romero. It looked like van de Ven's was a recurrence of a hamstring one where that would have been too serious. But it was kind of like a precautionary one. We're not going to risk him. But so the manager, we get criticised over that. The manager's under a bit of pressure. The other players playing centre half haven't done remarkably well. Dragason, I think, has done all right. Ben Davies, who was doing quite well, but then he's out injured, so his options were getting slim. I don't think Archie Gray is an option really for centre half. I think the manager says he's very good at defensive instincts. I saw him quoted the saying that, and I said, I'm not so sure about that. He's a light lad, lightweight, nice footballer, midfield player. They've used him as full back, but I wasn't convinced by the look of him at centre half against Bournemouth in the last 20 minutes or wherever it was he played. So he's under pressure to get the centre backs back on the pitch, but it's a combination of things. The results not been good, an injury to Ben Davies, the two lads been key players, the crowd loved them. But they didn't work out for them today, unfortunately. But they had other problems. The midfield players giving away stupid penalties like that was ridiculous. Son is out of form. Kulusevski did all right. Brendan Johnson, fullbacks, your doggy mixed game, some good wins, gave away the ball too easily, too often. And then the goalkeeping problem. Goalkeeper out injured, Vicario. Foster made some good saves as well. But he's beaten four times. Can't blame him on the penalties. He could have done better on the first goal, possibly. So they've a lot of problems for us between the injuries, the lack of depth in the squad, results, whinging in the stadium. Both Chelsea are on the up and up, that's for sure. And that's, I think that we should be concentrating on how good Chelsea are.
And how they're going. Just one last question on Tottenham, because on our monitors here, we were getting a lot of pictures of Daniel Levy up in the box. It's never really a good sign when you see that happening quite a lot. I know that's the TV director makes that call, but they're usually doing it for a certain reason. Now, they do have to go to Rangers, as we mentioned, in Europe this week. But then it's away to Southampton. And Southampton, while they haven't been getting results, they're not a really bad team and they can score goals, as we know. Is that a must-win for Postecoglou? Because if he goes to St Mary's, a team that are anchored to the bottom of the table and doesn't get the win, does that put him in big trouble?
Well, I think that he's under pressure at the moment, isn't he? They've lost seven now out of 15 games. Have lost seven, so you're losing every second game in the league. Your manager has to be under a bit of pressure. So the Southampton game comes after the Rangers game. He needs to get a result of the Rangers game. You could dismiss it if you lost it and say, well, you didn't play the right team. He doesn't have a great choice. Not like Chelsea. When Chelsea put out the team and they've been playing the conference, you look at the players and you go, right, they've got some good players there. You don't know them all very well, but you know they spent big money to get them. And they've been able to win those games convincingly. I think 8-0 the last one, 2-0 the one before that, trashing teams. They play Shamrock Rovers the week after next or every couple of weeks time. They have a strong squad. Spurs don't have that ability. If they picked a second team and left out the players that started today for the match in Rangers on Thursday night, well, what would you have? You'd have the young lad Bergvall that come on today, Archie Gray would play. There's not a lot of other players outside of that you'd say, oh well, he'd do a good job. But he may have to do that towards trying to get a result against Southampton, put out a different group of players. But they don't have depth to the squad, so he's under pressure before he plays Rangers and before he plays Southampton.
Enzo Maresca made seven changes at half time. He wasn't happy. He made one player change and then a couple of positional switches. A bit like Arne Slot, I suppose, who's been praised for being able to react in game and to make changes to turn a game his way. Is that what you're seeing from Maresca as well?
Yeah, I think the manager has done well. He's showed himself to be a strong character pre-season. He didn't always come across a nice character, but he came across a very decisive character when he said he'd a big group of players training by themselves and training them outside the main group. I think that's been eased over time. They got a few off the wage bill. Chalboa and Gallagher in particular. And then as the time has gone on, some of them, the likes of Reece James and Cobble, have worked themselves back into the squad. And because of the European games, they've needed to use more players. So they've only had like two teams up until, I'd say, 3 weeks ago. And now it's a bit more mixture of a team. There's a bit more rotation going on for the Premier League games, not just for the European games. And we saw it today with the Eka not starting today. Levy is starting in the middle of the pitch. A couple of other little subtle changes. Jackson left out during the week. Jackson comes back in today. That he's starting to trust more players within the group. But the outstanding player for me today was Enzo Fernandez. He started in the advanced midfield position the first half. Caicedo playing right back. That wasn't working very well. He changed at half time, as you said, decisive change to put on Gusto at right back, move Caicedo in the middle of the field instead of Latvia. Then Cucurella became the extra midfield player at times in the second half. But Fernandez ran the game a bit. He got that really decisive equalising goal. It was the equalising goal, wasn't it? The Fernandez goal, the shot.
That was on the button 3-2 up.
Oh, that was 3-2. Sorry, the penalty was before that. It was the two penalties that were either side of that goal. So, brilliant and decisive goal. But I felt he was running the game. I said to midfield, he bossed the game, played like a bit like a captain, sort of a style of a fella. I could see him looking around the fellas and telling them where to go.
Would you call him box to box, like in the old tradition of Roy Keane?
In the first half, his running ability and sprinting in behind the Spurs defence was really impressive. massive for me. And then second half, he was a little bit forward back. Cucurella was getting it up ahead of him. Casado was beside him. They were together more. But I thought it was a really good performance from him all through in the match. And Palmer was more of a threat. Sancho, as you said, out wide. And you know, the wingers, Neto on the other side, caused Spurs an awful lot of problems too. So they're in good shape, Chelsea. It might be a bit like, a little bit brittle at the back, I'd say. The goalkeeper wasn't particularly convinced, and they played Sorensen the other night, didn't they?
Yep.
So, you know, they're not the done deal, I'd say, by any means, but they're really still impressive team.
And what, just on Palmer, what is it about him that he can be so inconsistent within a game, where, you know, he can provide flashes of brilliance, and there's no doubting his talent. But somehow, it seems like his brain switches off at times in games or something. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'd suggest that, he plays with a swagger. He said that a couple of times, and it's kind of an almost overconfidence, I'd say, about him, that he wants to take care of the ball, but he wants to do something. He can see passes that we've seen in several matches that other players are not capable of seeing. But sometimes he sees those passes and he can't quite deliver it, and it looks like a stupid pass or a bad pass. He's trying to thread the ball between several players and it doesn't quite work out. And you say, and go, just play the safe one every now and again. But I'd be loath to criticise him, because you want players who take risks like that and who can turn a game. And, you know, even that Fernandes goal we talked about, what he did out on the right-hand touchline was magical. And then when he tried to get it across, Van de Ven got a little bit of a block on it, but it broke forward. Fortunately for Fernandes to smack her into the net from the edge of the penalty area. So we still had an influence on that. And he's a classy player, and he's still only a young boy. He's a lot of improving to do, I think. But he's having such an impact in this team. What they say, that's up to 10 goals already this season. 15 games. That's 2 goals every 3 games. He's not playing centre forward. He's playing, you know, number 10, floating about towards the right hand side at times. What a player!
So Chelsea, they might sign players in January, but are they just a bit short for to become champions, do you think, or will they challenge all the way?
Well, we don't know. I mean, they have a chance. I mean, Manchester City dropped points again yesterday, so there's hope for
Arsenal today,
but there's hope for everyone, because Manchester City aren't as dominant as they've been other than the season when Liverpool won the league in the last 7. So there's hope for everyone that they can have a bit of a chance this year, that the points total required to win the league is not going to be as high as the, you know, the 89, 90, 91, or even up near 100 where Man City have been at times. It's going to be less than that. So, well, yeah, Liverpool are in very good form, dropped a couple of points. But they, like Chelsea, at the moment, themselves and Arsenal look the best of the rest, the most consistent, the best of the rest. So they have a bit of a chance, and they're gaining confidence from these victories. This type of victory, when you are particularly special for a team, you could see their reaction at the end of the game. They knew they'd done something a little bit special. Spurs were 10th in the table before today, so maybe it wasn't that special, but they knew it was a big game. When you go 2 goals down early in the football match, you know you're in trouble. I mean, the best time to be 2 goals down is early in the football match. You're going to be behind, because you've got plenty of time to retrieve it, and that's what they did.
Just to finish, Robert Sanchez, he wouldn't exactly fill you with confidence, and I know you mentioned him during the game. Could Chelsea go looking for a keeper in January, and could they maybe look up towards Anfield?
Well, that's an interesting suggestion.
I'm talking about Quivín Keller,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Well, we heard of his game that looked a bit short today. Sanchez was distribution when he tried to build it up through Badashil in the right back position. And then when it went back to him and Solanke's putting him under a bit of pressure, he didn't look so comfortable on that side of the game. That was his weakness. So then in the rest of his game, he made a couple of saves. He didn't have too many other saves to make. Where you look at Quivín, he rarely makes a mistake in possession. He's very cool. His distribution is excellent, and he's proved to have been a great goal, great shot stopper as well. So he's been excellent. So maybe it's a possibility. I mean, would Liverpool let him go halfway through the season? Given how their goalkeeper is inclined to get injuries, Alisson's inclined to get injuries. I think they'd be loath to let him go. I know they have the other lads waiting to come in, Georgian goalkeeper, but they, you know, I don't think they, maybe they can take him in January, let like we even go. I don't know, it's an interesting one, Stephen. You come up with a surprise one there for me, but nonetheless, an intriguing one. And he's Kevin Kelleher deserves to be number one choice for a good a team at a very good level, whether it's in the Premier League or another league in Europe. He deserves to get that opportunity.
Thanks, Brian. Off to Manchester we go.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks. We got a week to make it. I hope it's Troyer.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Off the Ball rugby.
I picked Sam Prendergast.
Would you?
Yeah. That's not to take anything away from Mac Hansen and James Lowe. They're wonderful players. They're incredible footballers. You know, so there's still a very good team there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.